Welcome to the official Robcast podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is my podcast. You know, I was totally in the flow. That rhymed. That must have been jarring for you. I started the podcast as if I was in the middle of it. But truth be told. See, that's one of those things, like, honestly, truth be told. It wasn't the beginning of it. I had already started talking, but I didn't realize that I had actually failed to record any of what I said. It was brilliant. We'll never be able to revisit that. That's not the word I'm looking for. I was Rolodexing. When I'm Rolodexing, sometimes I repeat the first syllable of the first part of the sentence. Is that where stuttering comes from? No. Stuttering and stammering are completely different, I believe. I did some research on it, but I forgot it all. But I guess I can try to sort of recreate. Oh, that's what I meant to say. Recreate. I guess we can try to recreate what I was just talking about. I was just recounting. Oh, that's another reword. Recounting? Like I'm recounting money? It's interesting. When you say recounting, you're actually recounting words that you said, or perhaps a memory. But I'm not recounting it. I'm maybe re-examining it, re-experiencing it. I'd like to become a lot more proficient and concise with my verbiage. I should probably cancel this podcast then, if that's something that I wanted to. Laughing reminded me of something else that happened when I laughed before. So let me try to sort of recount what I was saying. So we had Nate on the show last week, and I was re-listening. Now I'm going to be very conscious of any word that starts with an R and an E. And Nate, at some point or another, he started using this sort of computerized robot voice. Maybe it was me and Steve knocking, and maybe it was another time. But he said that he had never done that before, and that was the first time that he had tried to do it. See, that's my impression of it is not good. That's the first time I tried to do it as well, but I was essentially trying to reconstruct what Nate did. He had this sort of arpeggiated tone. Is arpeggiated a word? Why am I asking rhetorical questions?
there's another laughing moment.
I'm not going to apologize for laughing. I thought, oh, maybe that was too much, but actually, now I'm getting self-conscious. What I meant to say was sometimes I start talking and I don't necessarily know what I'm gonna say after I start the sentence, and I don't know if that's just being in the moment, or if that's some sort of ego thing where assume that once I start talking that I'll have the confidence to be able to continue the conversation. Maybe that's why a lot of people are silent. Or maybe it's because a lot of those people are smarter than I am. Now, interestingly enough, why do I segue with things like that? I actually didn't have anything interestingly enough to say. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what I wanted to say. Interestingly enough, I didn't have anything interesting to say. What is with this pressure to be interesting? Okay, sorry, this is getting boring. Now I'm judging myself. I wanted to talk today a little bit about something that I touched upon in our previous episode, in episode 23. This is episode 24, for those who can't read Roman numerals. I'm sorry, that was patronizing. Is it patronizing or patronizing? I know it comes from a father talking down, right? That's sort of the root word. What's the root word of root, I wonder? What is it? Greek, maybe? Patronizing? Patrius? Patronus? Who knows? Patronus? Patron? Tequila? It all goes back to... no, it doesn't. It never goes back to... Sometimes it goes back to... if I finished my sentence, maybe you'd know what it goes back to. Alcohol. It all goes back to alcohol. No. What I wanted to say was... Oh, man. I had something really interesting to say. Sorry, I was paraphrasing Kenneth Lonergan from Lobby Hero. No, what I wanted to say was... we were talking about something, and I mislabeled it as information bias, when actually it's confirmation bias. Information bias, I did a little bit of research, not much, and it's a completely different thing. Information bias is when you need, psychologically, you need to have much more information than it takes to be able to make a decision, much more information to make a decision than you actually need. So, in other words, say that you have to have a procedure done. Well, you know you have to have this procedure done, but you're going to get an MRI just to be sure, or just to have that much more information. Now, look, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm not judging it, because obviously, you know, MRIs are useful. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in existence. And when it comes to the human body, when it comes to procedures, when it comes to health, I understand that there's no number. There are no words. There is simply... the survival mode, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, everything that our body does is part of the survival mode. Even sneezing, yawning releases oxygen into our brain so that we can think more clearly. When we can think more clearly, we can scan our environment for problems more often. We can be more alert. Sneezing gets out any sort of bacteria or dust. Of course, you know, the term "God bless you" meant that they used to think that evil spirits could swarm in while you were sneezing when you did the inhale part of it, and so they would say "God bless you." The Germans were a bit more practical. They would say "Gesundheit," "Gesundheit." Excuse my cartoonish German accent, which means good health. I don't know what the French say. They probably didn't say anything, those rude bastards. I'm just joking. I love French people. That's a blanket statement. I don't love all French people. I like people who are good at heart. And that's, is that a terrible thing to say? I was talking with my friend. I was going to name my friend. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to name my friend. I'm not even going to say if my friend was a man or a woman. I am going to say B. No, A. I was talking to, I'll go with B. It's easier to say. I was talking to B, and we were discussing, you know, is the United States government sort of on equal footing in terms of the evil that they're stirring up or the turmoil that they're stirring up that these terrorist organizations are trying to affect on us. And B was saying, you know, oh, it's no contest. I mean, the U.S., we're trying to do something good. When we, you know, when we send in these drone strikes and they accidentally hit civilians, it's an accident. If they could, they would wipe us all out completely with, you know, some sort of biological warfare. Or if they got the chance, they would totally obliterate us. It's completely different. There's something inherently evil. Not inherently may not be the word. And I said, well, what if we sat down and had a dialogue with somebody, you know, a leader of the, and she, oh, I just use a female pronoun. I guess now I have to say that it was a she. I don't know why I'm being so secretive about it. It's not like B was saying anything that terrible. But anyway, she was saying, no, there's a, now I'm off track because I feel like I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. That's the wrong terminology. I meant to say something else, but then I thought of cookies. It was, yeah, oh, she was saying, no, if you sat down, there's it's past the point of sitting down. All you can do, you know, is send, you know, good energy towards them. You know, it like, not in a sort of wishy-washy way, but in a practical way of just saying, like, you know, we give you light. Because, I mean, you know, but if people want to take it or not, you know, energy is a scientifically proven, well, I don't know about proven, but it's a scientific theory that everything is made of energy, and if it's solid, if it's gas, if it's liquid, it's all energy. So you know, we can sort of send our pure energy, our good energy, to these people on the other side of the world who want to do extreme harm to us. And I don't know if that would change what they wanted to do, but the point is that they cannot be swayed by logic or pathos or ethos, right? The three, logos, pathos, ethos. They're past that point. And, you know, I don't know if I can believe that, because I want to believe that everyone is inherently good, right? So I guess, you know, the sort of crux of it would be, I just stuttered, did you see that? Because I was getting a bit excited about what I was talking about, and I think maybe the stutter was a way to calm myself down so I can be clear and rational and logical. Is that another term of stuttering? When you elongate a consonant, you can't say consonant with, I guess you can say consonant. You can't do it in the beginning of it because C is a percussive sound and it stops. Can't remember what they call those. Anyway, I believe that, you know, it in this country, at least, it's really tough to understand, for me, I'm saying for me, to understand anything that's going on outside of this country. And I remember, you know, we were talking, I keep referencing last time, I think it's because it was so exciting that I was able to speak to another human being during this process, but, you know, Nate was saying, I was saying, well, yeah, you know, people from Ghana are listening to this podcast, and I, you know, I'm talking to them about American politics, and he goes, well, as if it was a good thing, you know, filling them in on my perspective of it. And he was saying, well, how do you know that they want to hear about that? They're on the other side of the world. They may not care about that, but they may want to, you know, they may be more interested in the human aspects of what you're saying. And I do want to sort of rebuttal that after thinking about it. Not rebuttal, because it's not a competition, but I do want to say that I believe that the vehicle for which I do speak of humanity and larger ideas are through the topical sociopolitical climate of the United States. I think I use that phrase all too often, and I don't exactly know why. I think maybe it's because I want to try to sound smart. And then I breathed in, and I got self-conscious because I said a truth about myself, and I exposed a little bit of vulnerability. Nate was also talking about, you know, the fact that I'm using a persona. I think he's right. I think I do use a persona. I think I purposely make my voice deeper than how it usually sounds, because I'm not often amplified through speakers. Maybe if, you know, you're listening through a nice sound system, there's a subwoofer, and it's letting my bassy tones reverberate, and perhaps it's creating a feeling of calmnity. That's not a word, calmness. And that time, I used the elongated S to exemplify the word calmness. But what I was talking about, in terms of last week, it was not information biased. It's confirmation bias. And it means that we only seek out things that are already confirmed by us. So we're not seeking knowledge, we're seeking approval of our own thoughts, of our own actions, of our own feelings, of our own ideas. And I believe that it keeps us stunted. I believe that if we do not keep open to being wrong or look for ways to be wrong, then it is already automatically giving us a confirmation bias. An interesting example is I was on the Facebook feed, I sound like Justin Timberlake in that, I was going to say Sorkin movie, but I guess Sorkin wrote it, and Fincher, why am I calling them by their last names? They're not baseball players. So, and then when I say and I breathe in, it's because I get self-conscious that I may have made a funny joke, but I won't know if it's funny until later when an audience listens to it. Whew. Yeah, let's just get into our body. So, it's interesting because it all goes back to what is in the moment. Oh, right, let me finish my thought about Facebook. So, there was a suggested ad. It was like, you know, Trump
Supporters for America or something like that, and it was talking about and it had a video of Jeff Sessions talking about taking away the safety status for sanctuary cities and, you know, the funding for them. And immediately, I didn't even listen to what he was saying. I already heard it on NPR, but immediately I saw where the source was coming from, and I said, hide this. And then it said, why do you want to hide this? And I say, I don't want to see this. It's offensive. And they say, why is it offensive? And they give you all these options, you know, is it lewd? Is it, you know, blah, blah, blah? Is it not appropriate? Is it in the wrong place? And I put, it's offensive because I don't agree with it. And right as I checked that off, it disappears, by the way. You can't take that back. Right after I made that decision, I thought, are you, this is me speaking in the third person, Rob, are you exhibiting a confirmation bias right now? And I was. And I do. I don't have anybody on my Facebook feed that talks about Trump in a positive way. I don't converse with anybody. I live in a blue bubble, you know, in Los Angeles, California, where the birds are chirping and the sun is shining and it's 70 degrees and, you know, there's traffic on the freeway, but, you know, we are not in, and I don't want to compare this to, I don't want to utilize, you know, this sort of, we don't have it bad, you know, Aleppo, they're dropping bombs. Well, at least you don't, because, you know, it's not about comparing it or a competitive sort of, well, they've got it worse over there. Actually, those tactics are, oh, there's a siren. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it. I think you will because you've been able to hear sirens in the past. Just when I'm talking about how bird chirpy LA is. There's always sirens going on, though. I don't know where they're going to. I'll say a little prayer for them. I don't know a prayer. I'll say a little thought for them. Blessed be whoever the sireneth is for. Sorry, I kind of mocked it a bit, which defeated the purpose of saying a prayer. Thought that counts, right? Thought that counts. Really? Is it the thought that counts? Because if you're just thinking it and you don't say it, then nobody knows your thoughts. Nobody knows your thoughts inside. So isn't it the action that counts? And if it's not the action, isn't it you actively telling someone, oh, I was thinking of you? Because that's an action, telling someone. And then that becomes the thought that counts. And then I also think the thought that counts is like, oh, what's the least that I can possibly do? It's almost a way of letting another person save face. I'm like, oh, I forgot your birthday, but happy birthday. And they're like, it's okay, it's the thought that counts. Like, you know, I'm wishing them a belated birthday or whatever. But no, it's not the thought that counts. Sometimes it's the feeling that counts. Or recounts, right? Isn't that interesting? We're talking about counting, and we're talking about feelings and words, not numbers. But I guess numbers came from words, or numbers are words. O-N-E spells one, right? Every time I say a dumb joke, it's like an automatic reaction where I go, and then I breathe in. Because I get self-conscious. So this confirmation bias, it's interesting because I was reading about it, and it's applicable to people when they're recounting memories, even. They will, you know, if you say, hey, you know, we are... there was a study, right? They took a set of people. Even, this is interesting, even studies have confirmation bias, right? Because there may or may not be a high stake to prove a certain way or to sway public opinion in a certain way, right? Polls, charts, any of these things can sort of be doctored. And I think that's kind of what Trump is getting at when he talks about, polls can be doctored. I started shaking back and forth in my chair, sort of embodying what I thought Trump was. And then I had this image of a pig man, which reminded me of the Twilight. Say it again. Third time's the chicken. Winner, winner. What's that Rod Sterling show? You know the one. Oh, I'll think of it soon. Anyway. Oh, now it's bothering me. And it's like, I know it. Okay. Don't try so hard. Just relax into it. I was going to say Star Wars. Another siren. So, and then when we get that confirmation bias, we also have this interesting phenom that happens where we... I'm still trying to think of that stupid TV show. It's not stupid. It was great. The Twilight Zone. See, I knew. I mistrusted myself because my new memory, my confirmation bias, went towards my newest memory of the word Twilight, which are those dumb books. Sorry, I shouldn't put a qualifier on them. Those glittery books that got turned into multi-million dollar movies that launched the career of, you know, all these people, Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart and Remy Malek and Taylor Lautner, you know. It's called The Twilight Zone. So that brings me to my next point. My next point, as if I have sequential points, which is when we think of something in the past, we actually access that memory through our current psychological or emotional state. So it's filtered, even if it was in a horrific experience, it's filtered by what we're feeling now. For instance, I'll take a personal example. I have stopped drinking. And the reason I stopped drinking is because a few summers ago, whenever I would drink, I would be violently ill in the morning. And I thought, maybe I'm allergic to alcohol. But it took me about 6 or 7 times to sort of realize that. And what would happen is when I started to feel better, I would recount the memory of being sick. But since I was in a healthier state, it wouldn't be that terrible. It wasn't, it didn't access the worst guttural physical feeling that I was feeling then, which was, oh, I want to die. You know, not like in a suicidal way, but like, I just feel like I'm gone here. Because, you know, my body was expelling poison. I think that's the reason why I kept doing it, because it didn't sink in. And, you know, I don't want to simplify addiction at all. I don't. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not qualified to do it. By the way, I'm not qualified to do anything. I have a degree in fine arts, so maybe I'm qualified to put up Caucasian chalk circle. No, probably not even, because I don't even understand what that's about. I'm qualified to play Jerry in the Zoo Story. Actually, I saw this incredible production of Zoo Story. It was by these deaf actors. There's a theater company in LA called the Deaf West Players, or the Deaf West Theater Company. And all of the actors were deaf. And it was a truly engaging way to watch theater. Now, there were interpreters that were watching them like a hawk and interpreting what they were saying. They were kind of off stage, so they weren't that distracting. But, wow. You know, I never thought of, and this is probably, you know, terrible of me, but I never thought of watching theater done by deaf actors. But they were so in their body, they were so in the moment, it was incredible. And when they did speak, it was chilling. And I don't know if that's because I'm just not used to hearing deaf people speak, and I don't want to be obnoxious about that. It's just something that I haven't experienced a lot. But, you know, like, for instance, you know, at a certain point, Peter yells police, and when the actual actor, not the narrator, yelled police, police, I was like, oh my goodness. It just sort of zeroed in on this reality that was happening. It was pretty fascinating. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. I was going to go the I digress route, but I am not. So, going back to this confirmation bias and selective memories, that it's essentially, you know, it's where preaching to the choir came from. And I think that surrounding yourself with things that you only want to prove yourself right for, that can be dangerous. It can be dangerous for your mental state. It can be dangerous for your emotional state, because, you know, if you are sort of only hearing news that's proving, oh, America is in a terrible place right now, and, you know, this is the reality, and things are terrible, and you're only listening to people who are, you know, so fanning the flames of that, it's working you both up. Say you're having a conversation, and it's just working you both up, and you're venting towards each other. It's not getting you anywhere. You're spinning wheels. You're talking about feeling bad, essentially. And it puts you in a worse state than before you started the conversation. And I ask, is that worth it? Is it? And we have a choice to do these things. And I do catch myself trying not to engage in negative activities, because A, it's just going to make me feel worse. And if I feel worse, I'm definitely going to make other people feel worse. You know, if I'm feeling bad in traffic, oh, you better believe I want to make other people feel bad in traffic. I don't know, you don't better believe. I'm just saying that sometimes I if I get cut off or something, if it's justified, if I feel it's justified, right? Because what is being justified? It's not a dispassionate situation. There's no judge saying, well, he was justified and he wasn't justified, or she wasn't justified, whatever it is. I'm feeling wronged, so I lash out. I want to retain power. There's another reword. Obtain, retain, contain. Don't know any other tains. But pertain. But, you know, it's something that it's not something that I think is healthy, and I want to figure out a different way of just sort of moment by moment interacting and maybe seeing if I can just be open enough to not automatically go to my confirmation bias, or have enough trust that I have instincts and I don't need to rely on my information bias. And it always goes back to the moment for me. And maybe this is my confirmation bias because I'm constantly talking about these things, right? It's when these are the only things you're noticing because it's the only things you're thinking about. I want to be able to, in a class I'm taking right now, the teacher says, reflect what you see, not what you think you see. And I could just spend eternity on that, that koan. I mean, it's not even, it's instruction, actually, is what the teacher meant it as. Reflect what you see, not what you think you see. So I think, you know, when we think we see, we bring our history into it. We bring our future into it. We're not just in the moment trusting that we are alive and we're human beings and we're animals and we have instincts and we have intelligence, emotional intelligence, you know, historical intelligence, and we don't need to biasly. By the word bias, it comes from an ancient Greek word, which I can't remember. It essentially means a slant. So it's a slanted, oh no, that's not right. That's a different word. It means oblique. So that you can't actually, or is oblique a slant? I don't know. You know, I'm not a wordsmith. As Nathan pointed out, I was. Actually, that's not wordsmithing. Wordsmithing is taking words and combining them, right? I'm not an etymologist. I only have Google, just like Google. Jeez. I want to stop saying but not today. And I think we're going to end it there. Sorry that we were rambling. What is this? Royalty? I do want to touch upon some of these things again, but I actually think what I want to do is maybe learn a little more information and maybe experience a little more and see what happens when I don't jump to my confirmation bias and just try to live life that way. I don't know if it's possible, but we'll see. All right, till next time.
Well, that's all the time we have today at Robcast Podcast. Be sure to tune in every week to find the latest Robcast Podcast at officialrobcast.podomatic.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at officialrobcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay alive.